Oh Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Thank you, Lord, for Resurrection Day. Thank you, Father, that your Son Jesus was obedient. Lord, we don't take that for granted this morning. We, first of all, before we do anything, Father, we love you, we praise you. Lord, our hearts are in surrender to you this morning. Father, for anything that we know of and we don't know of that has caused us to sin against you and, Lord, to miss the mark concerning the righteousness of your word, Lord, we just ask for your forgiveness right now in Jesus' authority. Thank you for your grace that abounds in our lives, not for us to have a license to sin, no, but for your grace, oh Lord, you have allowed us an access to the Father through you, Jesus. Oh God, I want to praise you that you've given us through your Son, Jesus, access to you. And so this morning, because of that access, Lord, we repent of any sin. We repent of anything known or unknown to us, any commission or omission, Lord. We repent of it in Jesus' name, so that as we gain access to you, Lord, because that's the only way we can gain access to you, is that we're free from sin. Lord, as we're free from anything that we've done, having confessed our sin before you, we thank you that we're able to enter into your presence. Thank you, Lord. And the first thing we want to say as we enter into your presence this morning is thank you for your mercy. Oh God, we thank you for your mercy this morning. Lord, we live and breathe because of your mercy. We thank you because your mercy is big on our lives. We thank you, oh God, when we didn't deserve good from you, you were good to us. Lord, thank you right now for your good. Your good is long-suffering. Hallelujah. Your good is long-suffering. Your good, Lord, manifests itself on our lives, Lord, in a long-suffering. What that means, Lord, is because, and you know better than us, God, you have, God, waited until the opportune time. And I thank you right now, Lord, you didn't take us out. You're not the God to just kill us. You're not the God to just slay us. Oh, God, you're the God that has suffered long. And I want to praise you for your mercy. Lord, when sin was ever present in our lives, you, God, suffered long. Thank you right there, Lord. We can't take the credit for anything that you've done that was good to us. We just want to say thank you. Thank you because without that grace on our lives, we would have missed much from you. But you have kept us. And because you have kept us, we are able to come in this resurrection on this resurrection Sunday and say, thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, we just want to praise you before we ask you one thing. We want to thank you, oh God, that your Son Jesus died for us. Lord, what great love has a man that he would lay down his life for his friend. I thank you for Jesus befriending us when we were yet enemies. Oh God, I want to praise you right here. I want to thank you right here. I want to honor you right here. And now, Lord, thank you that our feet are ordered. Our steps are ordered. Thank you, oh God, our lives are ordered by you. I thank you, oh God, your word has ordered our steps. Lord, may we ever find ourselves in your word. May we ever find ourselves, God, doing what your word has called us to do. May we ever find ourselves, God, walking after all the things you said, oh God, we're to walk after and to pursue. Lord, may we love you so much that we don't look at what we can't do. We look at what all the things we can do. Lord, fill our lives with victorious moments. Fill our lives with I can and not I cannot. Fill our lives with I will and I don't know. Fill our lives, oh God, with I see and God, not that I'm blind and cannot see. Thank you, Lord, for the abundance of your life. Lord, we thank you that all of our needs are met. Not one of our needs goes lacking when we trust you, Lord. And no matter how you decide to bless us at any time that you bless us, oh God, we want to always be thankful before you. And so this morning, Lord, we raise our voices with thank you, Jesus. We raise our voices this morning, oh God, with hallelujah. Oh God, we praise you this morning. We thank you, oh God, because of the work of the cross. Hallelujah. We thank you for the work of the cross. It's the work of the cross. It's the work of the cross. It's what Jesus did while we yet live. It is what he did that has given us transformative life. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, because of the blood of Jesus, I am saved. Because he shed blood without one sin, I can be saved. Oh, Lord, I praise you. And thank you, oh God, that even on this day, this great day where all over the world, God, Christians are coming into your house and worshiping you. Lord, there's yet still a falling away. Lord, but we thank you, God, that we ever commit ourselves to the spirit of evangelism. So, God, that this gospel will be teached and preached all over in the name and the authority of Jesus. Hallelujah. We want to praise you right here and right now, Lord, for a good word, a good gospel that brings all men to salvation. It is the power. Your word, the gospel message, is the power of God unto salvation. And we give you praise for this, Lord. Lord, even as Jesus is a resurrected Christ, you have given us resurrection life. Thank you, Lord, that you allowed us to be born again. Hallelujah! We want to thank you that we are born again. You have made us alive again. Lord, not by the will of the flesh, but of the Spirit we live. Thank you, Lord, that we walk in resurrection life. Oh God, the same resurrected power that got Jesus up from the grave, we now have it on our lives. Thank you, oh God, in every part of our lives. And Lord, we pray, we confess, we even declare that every part of our lives will be resurrected life. And Father, any part of our life that is not in resurrected life, oh God, where we live evermore in your righteousness, we declare that that thing is getting right now in Jesus' name. Oh God, any stronghold that has come to cause us to not live any other kind of way, we bind that authority in Jesus' name. And we honor you, Lord. We praise you right now, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you because it's the gift of the Holy Spirit that allows us to live, move, and have our being in Christ Jesus. He enables us, Lord. He gifts us. Thank you, Lord. He gives us wisdom. He gives us knowledge. We thank you for the working of the Holy Spirit. And God, even on this resurrection day, we want to thank you for renewed life. Lord, anything that we were guilty of, anything that we were wrong in doing, not only have we repented of it, oh God, but we thank you that we're committed to walking in a good way. We thank you that we are committed, oh God, into walking in a better way in the authority of Jesus. We shall go and we shall do and we shall proclaim all that you have called us to do in that great authority of Jesus Christ. Lord, our hands are before you. Lord, our hands are before you. Teach us how to use our authority. Teach us how to use our authority. Teach us how to use our skills. Teach us how to use our gifts. Our hands are before you, and we ask that you anoint our hands this morning. Oh God, our heads are before you, Lord. Oh God, anoint our authority, anoint our mindset, anoint our, oh God, our ability to discern. That means our ears. God, give us the ability to hear, Lord, in Jesus' name. Give us an ability to hear and to understand great wisdoms and mysteries. Give us to understand how when we hear your word, oh God, we are moved to do. We are moved quickly to run and to do all that you've called. He that has an ear, she that hath an ear, let him or her hear what the Spirit is saying even now unto the church. And God, as we hear, we thank you that our mouth shall produce a good word. Our mouth shall produce, oh God, a word that is sound and discreet and filled with judgment and wisdom and victory. Whatever it is that we hear, we shall speak with our mouths. We thank you that our mouths are like trumpets, oh God, where we are sounding an alarm before this generation. And we're teaching young men and women, oh God, how to be saved. Lord, give us to do this. And so we call forth, O God, as we hear and we speak, the spirit of evangelism in us, that God, we will do all we can to share the great news, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he did live among us, that he did live among us, and that he did suffer the brutal death of the cross, and that after his crucifixion, he was buried. And after that, he was buried. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And God, when he got up from the grave, Father, we thank you. He got up with all power. Hallelujah. And for 40 days after getting up, Lord, he showed himself with many infallible proofs. Lord, he proved he himself is the evidence that he is the resurrected Christ, the Son of the living God. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. And Lord, he sits now on the right hand of majesty. He sits on the right hand of your throne, ever making intercession for you and for me. Oh God, I give you praise, oh Lord, that he's making intercession for us. Thank you, oh God, that every time we pray, he hears us when we pray. Saints, you ought to thank him that he hears you when you pray. Glory to God. Lord, and we honor you for that. And Lord, we thank you that you're coming again. We thank you that you're coming again. I said, Lord, we thank you that you're coming again. We thank you that you're coming again. And we believe your coming is soon, Lord. We believe your coming is soon, Lord God. And you will judge the quick and the dead. Lord, we thank you that you're coming is soon. But as we live, we move, and we have our being in this earth, God, this realm of authority, we will occupy it until you come. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning to all of you. Praise the Lord. I hope all are well. Are you well this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Delighted that you're here this morning. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. For understanding, it is good for us never to forsake the assembling of ourselves before the saints. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And we want to bring in your hearing 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we will start at verse number 1. As a matter of fact, you've already heard it for those of you that were here for the reading of the scripture. We will just rehearse it again in your hearing. For those of you that missed it, praise the Lord. We want to make sure that we are in the word of the Lord this morning. Somebody say amen. Amen. You have 1 Corinthians 15. Say, I got it. I'll be reading out of the ESV standard version or the English standard version of the scripture. And my subject this morning is Jesus. Resurrection must be preached. The resurrection still must be preached. What did I say? The resurrection still, that's right, still must be preached. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It still must be preached. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So let's read. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance, somebody say first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas or Peter, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive. This is when Paul wrote this, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Look at someone and tell them that you were born at the right time. Did you hear that? I said you were born at the right time. Hallelujah. For I am the least of the apostles. Listen at what he says. He says, I'm the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted this church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. And the church of God said, amen. Amen. The word of God, the word of God is something that we should always pay attention to. One, because the word of God, as Paul says here, that gospel, it is, in fact, when we teach and preach these things. Listen to this carefully. We must always teach what the gospel is. What is the gospel? Look to someone and ask them, say, what is the gospel? The gospel is that message that consists of you teaching right there in 1 Corinthians 15 and 3. I'm going to read it to you. When anyone asks you, and I said this earlier to some, when anyone asks you what is the gospel, this is what you tell them. You tell them tell them like Paul did. I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received. And there's a colon there. And Paul is about to make another statement. He says, what I received was that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture. The next time anyone asks you what is the gospel, you tell them it is the good news about what Jesus did for us. And it consists of this. Number one, it consists of us understanding that Christ died and he died for our sins. Somebody say amen. Listen to me, and I want you to hear me carefully. If you believe your sin should have some kind of special dispensation that excludes the word of God, then you don't necessarily believe that Christ died for your sin. If you believe you can do what you want to do, the way you want to do it, how you want to do it, because that's just you and nobody can tell you anything outside of the word of God, then you don't really believe as much as you say you do that Christ died for your sins. And I want to be clear here this morning. If there's an occasion for you to sin and you are involved in anything that the scripture has principally taught you or teaches us not to do or to refrain from, you are to be concerned about what that thing is. Listen to me. I said, if you're involved in anything that the scripture has taught you that God has not sanctioned for your life, then you do well to remove yourself from that thing. And I dare say that person that is causing you to continue to live in a position that Christ died for you to no longer have to be bothered by. And the church said, amen. Amen. Listen, Resurrection Sunday is not about cute dresses and new suits, you know, and daisies and tulips. The Resurrection Sunday really comes to remind us of the awful cost it was for you and I to be living the way we are living, if we're living at all, in Jesus Christ. Now, the good news about Christ is that he is so full of grace that we can live a good life whether we're saved or not. I've heard people say all my life, he delivered me from a miserable life of sin. That wasn't me. That wasn't me. I mean, there was some stuff that gave me misery. But miserable was not one of my things. And if some of you tell the truth, your misery only started after you gave your heart to Jesus. Not because, you know, there's misery in Christ. Your misery became misery because you suddenly realized there was some stuff God no longer sanctioned. And all of a sudden, the stuff that gave you pleasure, you know, the stuff that made you rock it, you kind of had to second think that now. You had to think twice about that, because what does the scripture principally allow? Now, most of the time when we talk about salvation, all we talk about is what you can't do. Somebody ought to say amen. Now, aren't you tired of folk telling you what you can't do? See, I got some dishonest folk up in here. Some of you sitting, I better not say nothing right there. But right, you know that you wish that there were some things that wasn't on the don't do list. I want to tell you, whatever's on the don't do list, I promise you there's more on the do list. For all the single folk that's in here, you know, people laugh at your want for Jesus, because it means that you are what they call square. It means that you are somewhat it seems to suggest that you're not involved in what's going on in the world as it is. Well, that should not ever be the truth. Let me say this to all of my young people. If you desire to live a saved life before Christ, you can right now in the culture you live in. And everybody said amen. Listen, there are some things that the church has said that we shouldn't do that you can't find in the Word of God. It's like when the scripture said, well, not the scripture. You see how I did that? You know, we grow, most of us in our age bracket, you're almost there. she's almost there. I didn't mean to put you out like that. in our age bracket, we were told what we can't do. Women, you were told not to wear pants. You remember that? Well, you know, my young people don't remember that. Some of you that grew up, women, y'all remember? You couldn't wear pants. You couldn't do this. You couldn't do that. And I grew up understanding that I wasn't supposed to wear short sleeves. You know, deep Pentecostal, fire baptized, you know, when all the women wore the doilies on their head, and they still do some. We were taught all those things. And we supposed that because we were told that that's what we were supposed to not do or to do, we just followed along because that's what, you know, we were taught. But we have, ain't that right? Ain't that right? And so we did it. We just did it. And anytime, women, anytime you saw other ladies in pants, you just knew they weren't saved. You knew they didn't love Jesus. And they better not have on anything red. Girl, you would have been on your way to hell. Minister Law, John, would have been on, she would have been on her way to hell for wearing this red today. That women couldn't wear red, and don't put on no red lipstick. They called you names when you put on red lipstick. Fingernail polish. And if you ever wondered why the men was leaving home, that's because the women were homely, the way they dress. And so, you know, they go find them something that, you know, all dressed up. And but how did we come up with all of that? Who brought all that up? Who taught that? Well, listen to me. The gospel. The gospel is not about how your pants are, or whether you should wear pants or not. It's not about, and as a matter of fact, let me go ahead and explain the doily. The thing that the people put on their head, the women put on their head, there was this debate where, you know, that women should cover their head. But we misinterpreted the scripture. The scripture only taught that women, if they're going to adorn themselves with wonderful, beautiful, now you're perfect today. I'm just going to pick on you. You know, they had like little mirrors and things in their hair. And, you know, and when they would move, their hair would make noise. Kind of thing. And all the women, you know, because they like looking good like you like looking good. Women, do you like looking good? Let me talk to the ladies. Do you like looking good? And so the ladies would come up adorned in their stuff. And it was distracting in the service. And so Paul addressed it. Paul says, listen, all I'm asking you to do is that, you know, when we come to the assembly of worship, is that I don't mind you dressing up. I just don't, I don't care so much for it being a distraction from the service of the Lord. But we made it into something about where the women have to always cover their head and they almost always have to have a, the doily on their head. Now, they can go in the street and do whatever they want to do, but when they walk into church, they got to put a doily. Is God only in the church? So, you know, my thought was, why then do you wear it in the church but not outside? Now, of course, a lot of people wore it outside too, but are you seeing my point? Paul says, let me be clear about the gospel. The gospel consists of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All that other garbage, somebody added it and left you in bondage and thought that if you don't look a certain way, because you're kind of cute today, you know, they'd have sent you to hell too. Yeah, she's cute today, amen? They would have sent her to hell for looking that good today. He wasn't concerned. Let me fix that. As much as he was concerned about them looking decent, he wanted us to understand the gospel is about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can I get someone to say amen? Amen. Now, I don't teach you anything that the Bible doesn't endorse. 1 Corinthians 15 and 13 and 3 says that. That's what he said. That was the first of all the important things that must come to you when you receive Christ. The first thing that you must get in you is that the gospel is about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without that, there is no gospel of Jesus. Wherever you go, no matter who you talk to, you want to always say that. Somebody say the gospel. Now, the importance of the text here has more to do with a resurrection, and we're coming to that because many people didn't believe that Jesus had an ability to get up. I want to just kind of hang out right there for a minute. Many people don't believe you have the ability to rebound. Has anyone ever been in a situation where you got caught out there and you didn't know how you was going to recover from that? Has anybody been in a situation where it was just over for you? Has it been over for you? Has there been a situation in your life where you just felt like there was no hope in that situation? Have you ever felt like you had such dismay and despair that there was nothing else that you could do in that matter? Well, I'm going to tell you there is hope for you. Look to someone and tell them, say, there's hope for you. Jesus teaches us what hope looks like when he gets up from the grave. Now, notice what the scripture goes on to say. The scripture says, of course, I read for you verse 3. Let's now look at verse number 5. And that he appeared. Well, let's back up. He says in verse number 4 that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture, with the scripture, in accordance with the scripture, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500. We read that. Let's, if you will, he appears to, you know, James and to all the disciples. And then, of course, you see where Paul says in verse number 8, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Praise the Lord. Look to someone and say, the last can still get in. Now, let me tell you, the last can still get in. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, and perhaps everybody else is in here talking about hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, and you're like, I want some of that. You can have it today. Amen. I said, you can have it today. Paul says, you know, my birth was untimely, meaning that, you know, I was born again, a little later than these other fellas, but the gospel message never changed. What does that say to us? That says to us through the generations, no matter how the culture changes, that the gospel message remains the same. Let me say this to my young people. We're looking for relevance in the scripture. We're looking for something that looks like us and acts like, resembles us. But let me say something about the word of God. When you become real knowledgeable of the word of God, the first thing you're going to learn is that the gospel message of Jesus Christ, it transcends all time and all generations. Just because we dress different, the gospel didn't change because you dress different. You understand? Just because our music is different doesn't mean the gospel is different. Listen, you can have a very different music in a very new time like this day, and that same music that is different than what I listened to growing up. Look, and old folk, let me say this to us, you know, since we got a mixture of group of folk up in here this morning. Let me say this to my older seasoned saints. Let me say this to you. We have to be careful when we criticize cultural divides. You grew up with one kind of music, and a generation after you hears something else. If that music is somehow giving glory and honor to God, but the beat is a little different and they moving a little different, you know, you did the twist, and you know, and I don't know what they're doing. What's that thing? Give me a name. Give me a name of a dance, Steve. The whip. I don't even know what that is. You know, the whip. The whip. You have to show me that sometime. You know, the whip. Hallelujah. I guess we got to learn how to do the whip, Mother Elliot. And the bounce. Yeah, the bounce. You know you're old timing when that's all you do. You know. And so, but culturally, some things are changing. But the gospel does not. Let me be clear about that. The culture changes, but the gospel does not. And the culture is allowed to change, but the gospel is not. Did you hear me? I said the culture is allowed to change, but the gospel is not. When Jesus showed up, he was a very different kind of guy. As a matter of fact, John the Baptist that came before him, he was, you know, you want to talk about wild and crazy looking. He was wild and crazy looking. But he taught and he preached a gospel that prepared the way of our Lord Jesus. Let me say this. It is okay for you to be different, but the gospel never changes. It is okay for you to look different, but the gospel and the way you live according to the word of God should never change. If the gospel said that this is how you do it, this is how you do it with all the cultural differences. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so Paul is talking here and he's saying, listen, I came after all these other guys. You know, my born again experience was late. You know, I came after everybody else got it. The great witnesses, the 500 that he talked about and the 12 disciples. He says, I wasn't with them. He says, but now that I'm an apostle, I am what I am, and his grace toward me. I guess I need to say this. He says, for I am the least among the apostles, verse number 9. He says, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. I want everybody to look at me and I want to ask you one question. What do you have in your life that you regret? What's in your life? What decisions you made? You wish to God you could take it back. All right, I'm going to do a poll. Because I got you real quiet. How many right now have some things you wish to God you could take back? I'm the only one? Okay. Of course not. Of course not. You've made decisions you wish you could change. Paul said, listen, I was a persecutor of people in the church. His job, he had a job. He was paid to go to churches and rip the joint out. Because he didn't believe that Jesus was the Lord. And many of you, as you start evangelizing and becoming this great mouthpiece for God, you're going to have people who don't like you because of your witness. You're going to have people who don't believe that Christ should be given all this deference and all this honor and all this greatness that he's given because of what. But can I just pause for a minute? If a man died for you, wouldn't you honor him? If a man not only died for you, but had some kind of ability to get up from the grave 3 days later with all power in his hand, wouldn't you worship him? Of course you would. Of course you would. And so Paul was one who persecuted people for how they loved on Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, there's something about the grace of God that is most wonderful. Someone say that with me. Say, the grace of God is most wonderful. What is the grace of God? The grace of God is his ability to give you things you know you don't deserve. Right now, many of you are seated here, and many a thing God has done for you that you did not deserve. And Paul says, I need to tell you the truth. I was the least among all of my colleagues because I was guilty of persecuting the church. It wasn't my finest hour. It wasn't my best hour. That's why I ask you the question, are there things you wish to God you could take back? Paul was a murderer. He saw to it that men were killed when they declared Jesus. But there's something about the grace of God. Jesus meets him on his way to persecute the church and on a road on the way to Damascus. And the scripture says, Jesus spoke to him and said, dude, why are you doing this? Do you know who I, do you understand? It is hard for you to kick against what I've established. And in that moment, Paul was face to face with what he thought he didn't believe, and he didn't, and he recognized that Christ was in fact the Son of the living God, and that what he had been doing was wrong. What have you been doing that is wrong? What have you been doing that has been against the knowledge of the Lord Jesus? What have you been doing that does not testify of your love for Christ Jesus? Paul was met by Christ. Perhaps you need to be met with Christ. As a matter of fact, today is an intersection for you to meet Jesus. Paul met Jesus and it revolutionized his whole life. Perhaps you've been searching for answers and you didn't know where the answers were going to come from. Perhaps you think you know it all. Paul thought he knew it all. The scripture says that he knew that he was a Benjamite, a devout Pharisee, you know, and the Pharisees in that day, they were the elite among the religious group and they just thought they knew everything. As a matter of fact, they made all the rules. So he was in an elite club. And God pulls him out of that elite club and turns his life around. And I want to say to you that the power of the gospel is about transformation. Everybody say transformation. Transformation. The gospel of Jesus Christ comes to turn your life around. Now, before we go into this last piece here, just turn back with me one book, if you will, to the book of Romans. And let's look at Romans chapter 1, and let's start at verse number 15. Let's start at verse number 15. I told you at the beginning of this that the gospel is the message that consists of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now I want to share with you the impact of the preaching of this gospel. Are you with me? If you have Romans chapter 1, verse number 15, just yell out, say, I got it. Verse 15 reads like this. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. So the setting is Paul is in Rome and he's preparing now to preach. He's preaching to two kinds of people, a church group or a Jewish group. And he's preaching to Gentiles, folk who never knew Jesus, never knew anything about the law of Moses or anything. Some folk have never been to church. They don't know anything about why we jump up and dance and we throw our hands up and say hallelujah, and then we do what we call speaking in tongues. We about run people out the church when they hear that kind of stuff. And so Paul is addressing the church at Rome, but there's a division in that region because the Jews feel like they know it all. And you ever met with somebody who think they know it all? And then the Greeks are they who have just received Jesus and are bothered because they basically want to tell the Jewish folk who think they got everything. They want to tell them, would you just get out of my face? Have you had a moment where you want to tell somebody to get out of your face? You ever talk to a know-it-all? You what's the new saying? Child, bye. You want to just tell them, get out of my face. Well, imagine now, this is what Paul is doing. But Paul says to both of these groups in this letter he writes, he says, listen to me. I am eager to preach the gospel to you and to all of you. I don't care where you come from. If you're seated in here this morning and you are Islamic, I'm so delighted that you're here. If you come from the Buddhist persuasion this morning, I'm very delighted you are here. If you are from Confucianism, somebody say just confused. I'm so glad you're here. Paul says, listen, the gospel, you need to understand, the gospel is not about your petty differences. Look at someone and tell them, it ain't about your petty differences. Denominations have been built on division like this. You understand? And see, if we really read the scripture right, we won't make that mistake. Paul is still now. See the thing, and I want to talk to some of my more mature saints, Christians. I want you to understand something here. Paul, it seems like he spends most of his ministry trying to set the church in order and to teach the church, stop majoring in minor things. Stop putting all your attention on things that do little to transform lives. And we mad because you got on a pair of pants. We mad because we don't like your shades, your glasses, your haircut. By the way, I like your haircut. He says, this is what you should know. First of all, I'm eager to preach to you. And buddy, I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed. Wait, this is the same Paul that murdered folk. This same Paul who wished he didn't do what he did when he murdered Stephen and he had people thrown in jail and cast out of their homes and he was a terror to them. He was a terror to them. This is the same Paul that's now saying, but when it comes to the gospel, I might have some regrets about what I did in my past, but when it comes to the gospel, somebody say, when it comes to the gospel. When it comes to the gospel, I am not ashamed. And I want to say to every one of you this morning, you should never be ashamed of what has transformed your life. When it's your turn to speak up, what are you going to do? Open up your trap and say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? I'm going to tell you. The Bible says, Paul declared, I'm not ashamed of this gospel, for It is so impactful. It is so powerful. It has so much energy and so much persuasive abilities to transform. Listen, he says, I am not ashamed of this, for it is the power of God for salvation. Let me read it like this. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it can transform anybody who believes. Let me say it that way. I am not ashamed of the gospel because in it is so much power, so much transforming power, that it has the ability to turn my life right side up. Praise the living God. He says, and it's to everyone. Touch someone next to you and tell them it's for you. It's for you. It's for you. I'm wrapping it up right now. Look at somebody and say, it's for you. He says to everyone. Would you just say with me, it includes me. Who believes, and to that self-righteous Jew first, and also to the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, hallelujah, the righteous shall live by faith. Now, I want you to get that, keep that. He says, going back to 15, 1 Corinthians 15, I'll wrap it up like this. He says, but by the grace of God, verse number 10, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. And on the contrary, I have worked harder than any of them. Look, you work. You work as much as you have to in ministry. You want to. You want to. You should desire to. You should desire to be your best self. Somebody say, I desire to be my best self. We're back in 1 Corinthians. We're back in 1 Corinthians 15. And he says in verse number 12, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. But there's proof that he is the resurrected Savior. Look at someone and tell him, say, there is proof.
There is proof.
He goes on to say, he says, for the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Somebody say, but we thank God that is not true. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ, they have perished. There is no hope for the dead. That means that the dead just died and they'll be dead. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Somebody say, it's the truth.
It's the truth.
The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. I want to share with you that Christ died for you and for me. And the church said amen.
Amen.
Lastly, and you don't have to turn there, but in Romans 10. In Romans 10, well, just run there, and we're going to stand and we're going to pray, and I'm going to invite you to know Jesus. Romans 10, and around about verse number 12, well, let's just start at verse number 11. Romans 10 and verse number 11, and when you have it, say, I got it. For there is no distinction, verse number 11, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Do you understand why Paul can talk the way he's talking? Do you understand that you can talk the same way Paul talks? You can be just as bold when you start talking and declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you start talking the good news of Jesus Christ, you need to be just as bold. And let me go ahead and say this to any one of you who's worried about what's in your past. Your past does not have power over you. Whatever you have done, it does not have power over you. The gospel is so powerful, so strong, that it intimidates your past. The gospel message ought to intimidate your past, and it should leave you with this resolve that there is no reason for anyone who now believes on Christ Jesus to be shamed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. It doesn't matter where you come from. It don't matter what you not. If you never knew anything about Christ until today, it does not matter. What matters is that you are to know that there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all. You can close your Bibles. Hallelujah. 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 Stand with me and let's give God a praise. Glory to God. Let's give God a praise because the resurrection is still important. And we still must teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ that includes that he not only lived in this life as Christ, who was God among us. He dwelled in a body just like we have now. And he lived among us. And not only did he live among us, but the Bible says after all of the success he had in the earth, he died a horrible death. He died a death that caused him to be crucified on a cross. Imagine, perhaps the person, I hope you like the person next to you. I hope you like the person next to you. But I don't imagine you would die for them. That don't sound so Christian, does it? That don't sound so Christian. But I don't imagine you would die for too many folk that's surrounding you. No. No. Love you, but no. But Jesus did.
Yes, he did.
Did you hear me? I said Jesus did. Aren't you glad he did?
Yes.
I want to thank him for doing it. And I want to thank him because the scripture says he did it once for all. That means nobody else has to play that game. I'm just glad he did it. Do you understand? Jesus did it. And that's why we honor him. That's why we give him praise. You're here this morning and you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior. You don't know him in the pardoning of your sin. You don't know him as one who has forgiven you so that you now walk a transformed life. And you want to get to know the God who would come and live among us and take on himself our sin. You want to get to know him. I'm going to invite you to know him this morning. I'm not going to ask you to come up. I'm just going to ask if that's you, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand wherever you are and we're going to pray. We're going to pray that you will allow Jesus to come into your heart. You will not only allow him to come in your heart, but when he comes into your heart, he's coming into a heart that has repented. The word repent means simply that you have turned from sin and toward God. You now are ready. You're bent on being with God. You say, Lord, I'm forsaking how I have lived until now. Perhaps your life has been pretty good, but you have lived a sinful life. Sin doesn't necessarily mean something bad. It just means out of the will of God. And so many of us have walked outside of the will of God. Repentance means, Lord, I regret where I have been now that I've learned that you weren't pleased with my life and I'm turning my life to you. That's what it really means. You're saying, Lord, God, I'll walk in all the sanctions of the word. I'll be governed by your scripture. I'll learn what I need to learn so that I have a great life in you. And then once you learn that word, that gospel, you start teaching that gospel. You start demonstrating the power of God in your own life. Some of you, you're to be extraordinary individuals. Wouldn't it be great to have the love of Jesus and his abilities on your life? Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Bow your heads with us. Lord, as we stand in this place, we are standing, God, representing that we believe on your son, Jesus. We believe, oh God, that you sent him so that whosoever believes on him, Lord, should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, we thank you for that life. We, God, even as we're standing, we thank you that we're able to turn our hearts to you in repentance. And it doesn't matter who you are, whether you are an unbeliever or not. I want you to repeat this after me. Say, Lord, I acknowledge my sin. And I repent of my sin. Whatever they are, you know best. And I turn to you to walk after your word. The gospel that is power for me. That transforms my life and grants me salvation. Today, Father, I receive Jesus into my heart. And for the rest of my days, I commit myself to you. Now, Lord, teach me your ways, and I'll follow them. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Somebody clap your hands and give God a praise. Hallelujah.